Good morning and welcome back. This is the 66th and last Perek, Perek Samach Vav of Sefer Yeshayahu. To all who have got to this point, a huge congratulations. This is an incredible achievement, a very difficult and very long but very rewarding Sefer in Tanakh that we'll be learning together. Let's dive straight in. This happens to be the Haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Not every Rosh Chodesh do we have an Haftarah, but if it falls on Shabbos, this is what we would be reading. So it's something which we recognize a lot of the words from. They come up, you know, once or twice a year, depending on how it falls out. And here's how it goes. The first section of this parak deals with what Hashem cares about in this world. Very obviously important topic. So Hashem explains to us pretty unequivocally. Ko amar Hashem, Hashomayim kisi v'ha'aretz hadom ragai. Look, the heavens are my abode. The earth is simply like my footstool. So what kind of house can you really make to contain me, says God? What can you really make for me, a space for me in this world? So therefore Hashem says, you know what? I look to everything that I created and what I really focus on. You know what I look for? I look for humble people, people who care about my words. And you know what I don't care about? I don't care about people who bring me empty sacrifices and don't care about humility and don't care about my word. You know what their kind of sacrifices are? Shochet hashor makeish. When they shech the sacrifice of the ox, it's like they're hitting another person and drawing blood. Zoveach haseh, bringing me a sacrifice of a lamb? Ah! Oref kelev, it's like killing a dog in front of you. It makes no difference. Ma'ale nincha, you want to bring a meal offering? Dam chazir, it's like pig's blood to me, says God. Mazkir levona, you're bringing up the frankincense to me? Mevorech oven, it's empty blessings. Because then they're not interested in our ways. They went on their perverted ways. So these are empty physical ritual acts with nothing in them. So why should I care about them? Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because I called out to these people and they didn't listen, you know what? Then I'm going to seek them out. I'm not going to even leave them to happenstance. I'm going to make sure these people find bad endings. Now, this is a very powerful start to this parak. What exactly is the theme here? So Chazal say that the theme over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, very similar to in parak Aleph Yeshayahu, very way back at the beginning, is Lama Li Rav Zivchechem, why do I need your sacrifices? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quite happy without them. But our Barber now points out that that's not really the theme of the last set of Prakim. We've noticed that a lot of these Prakim, these last chapters, have really been dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking about the final stages of Geula, of the redemption. If that's true, why is he bringing up this whole business about sacrifices again? So our Barber now says, you know what it is? It really is referring to the final redemption. And in the final redemption, we could make a mistake. We could think, Hashem gets a certain nachas from us being there. Hashem, so to speak, needs us to be in Jerusalem, and that's why he is doing this. So says Yeshayahu, make no mistake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not doing this for himself. He is quite fine. He created all the heavens and the earth and everything inside of them. He doesn't really need a space for us. He's doing this for us, so therefore deserve it. That's what the Bible says over here. That's the theme of this section. Why is humility so important? Why is it the only thing out of all the magnificent things God creates in this world, that's the only thing he's looking for? Well, it's interesting, the Gemara in Brachos, and appears in, also in many other Gemaras, says the following, Daf Lamed Gimel on Beis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKol Bidei Shemayim, everything is really in the hands of heaven, Chutz Mi'irah Shemayim, except for fear of heaven. That means to say that if a person is humble enough to accept the Hashem and fear him and make decisions in their lives based on the fear of heaven, that's what matters to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the Gemara goes on to say that Hashem as an Oitzar, Hashem as a storehouse which is filled only with Yiras Shemayim. The Vilna Gaon, Rabbi Eliyahu Vilna explains that a king only keeps storehouses of things which they don't have, so to speak, themselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has everything in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire world. He created the context of reality and reality itself. So he doesn't really need reality. The only thing he gave space for us for is the decisions we make based on Yiras Shamayim or not. If we have the humility to accept him and live with him and his lifestyle. That's what he keeps. He takes away all the instruments afterwards. He gives us a whole bunch of wherewithal. He gives bodies, he gives souls, he gives emotional makeup. He takes that all back. All that's left is the decisions we made with that when the instruments are gone. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about, and that's why he looks to that in this world, not just the circumstances or the world itself. We move on to the next section. The next section moves from Pasuk Hey all the way to the end of Pasuk Yodalad. This section is about the return to Yerushalayim. In this section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, those who follow the word of Hashem, your brethren, the other people who really hate you and don't serve Hashem, this is what they claim. They say, we're doing this all in the honor of God. That's why we're doing all of this. And Hashem says, look how they rejoice. It's in, when you see how empty it is, the life they lead and what they celebrate, you'll see how embarrassed they'll be. They're, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises there'll be a voice which will emanate from the Heichal, from the temple, which will bring all the enemies of Hashem to Yerushalayim and to know that payment will be coming. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say that before the contractions even start, the birth will happen. There'll be joy even, so to speak, without the pain. And people will say, like, in the startling experience, they'll say, has there ever been... Have you ever seen a nation that's reborn in one moment without an obstacle? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, you know, I'll bring on the labor. Will I not bring on the birth? Will I give other nations the opportunity of getting having a rebirth and not give the opportunity of for the nation of Israel? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to facilitate that birth. And he goes on to describe that Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilubo ko'al aveo sisu ito mesois kolam esab limoleo. You know, those who rejoiced over Jerusalem at the times of good and those who mourned over it at the times of destruction, those people are going to be the ones who are going to feed from it, who are going to be nursed from it, so to speak, the same mushroom of a child. You're going to be nursing from the honor of the return to Jerusalem, because Hashem says, I'm going to turn towards Yerushalayim peace and honor, and you as the child, those who cared about Yerushalayim, even when it wasn't popular to care about Yerushalayim, al birkan tesher show al tzadin al seyu, you'll be the sort of, so to speak, metaphoric, this child being held on the hip of the mother of Yerushalayim and gaining the same glory that Yerushalayim is now gaining, and like a child is comforted by their mother, ki ish asher imoyta nachamenu ken anochi anachemchem, you'll gain comfort through me, through Yerushalayim, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time he destroys his enemies. So Yerushalayim seems to be the epicenter of this return. Yerushalayim seems to be this place where we're able to channel through our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there seems to be some sort of, you know, oscillation about the pain that's going to be experienced at this point in time. The Malbim describes that this what's really going on over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshayahu is expressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's prophecy, ki zman rav lifnei bias ha-goel, a great time before Mashiach comes, yiskapsu anashim u'atim mibayis ha-goel, mibnei ha-goel av yiskavu dirosam Yerushalayim. That a small group of people are going to come and fix their dwelling in Yerushalayim. V'achar shanim rabos, and after a number of years, shiyoshvu shom, that they live in Yerushalayim, yovo lohem ha-chevlei ha-yoleda, shihim milchames gom gomagog, v'oz yaschil ha-kibbutz ha-godol ha-klali. And after this terrible war, the war of Gog and Magog, the apocalyptic war at the end of time centered around Yerushalayim, then everybody will return to Yerushalayim. One wonders, you know, in the words of the Malbim living, you know, in the 1800s, whether this is something we've witnessed yet, whether we've not witnessed it, the small amount of people, the terrible wars focused around Yerushalayim, and the return. We certainly are not at the times of Geula yet, but we're certainly at the early stages of it. But this prophecy seems to ring true. And it seems to be that the beneficiaries of this Geula are going to be people who care enough about Yerushalayim and cared enough about Yerushalayim even when it wasn't the time or the popular moment to do so. Let's move on to the last section over here, which is a very, very powerful section, very shocking section. And this goes on to more details about that final war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki hine Hashem bo'esh yovoi v'kasufo mar kevoi sov. Hashem is going to come in a fiery chariot like a storm, and he's going to consume those people. The judgment will be in fire and with the sword, meaning it's going to be a violent judgment period. Those who go out to the yards to serve Avodah Zarah, group after group, those who ate the pig's flesh and those disgusting creatures, will be killed all at once. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says unequivocally, I know your actions and thoughts, and I'll bring you all together. All the nations of the world will come together to see my honor. I'm going to bring them to Yerushalayim, and I'm going to give them a sign. You know what the sign's going to be? I'm going to wipe them all out on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. This is the war of Gog and Magog, obviously referred to in Zechariah Perek Yodalad, that this is referring to this apocalyptic war where Harazesim is going to split in two, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to wipe out the nations, and all the refugees from this war will run back to their various nation states and come back and tell what happened. And at that point in time, all of your remaining brothers, sounds like, as the Mephoshim say, these are Jews who did not come back to Yerushalayim, who weren't interested in Yerushalayim, even at the stages of Geula, will now suddenly come back and start bringing offerings to Yerushalayim. And Hashem says very graciously, even from that group, this returning group who had to have go through the war Gog and Magog to return, I will accept Kohanim and Levim. I will accept priests and Levites. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains why. Because just as the new heavens and earth, which he spoke about a couple of chapters back, will stand eternally, so too will this new wave, this new return, will be everlasting. And this famous pasuk is why it is that this becomes the Haftorah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. It'll be on a month-to-month basis, on a week-to-week basis. That all flesh will come and bow down to me. Obviously, it is what the Mephoreshim point out is that doesn't mean to say it's the same group. That means that on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, more and more people will realize the greatness of God and come to pay homage in Yerushalayim. And that's what we talk about. The Rosh Chodesh being a moment of judgment, a moment of renewal, a moment of recognition for those who are intellectually honest. And that's what's happening. And finally, the last closing pasuk is a pasuk which is so terrifying that in fact we read the penultimate pasuk twice. Once before it and once after, so don't end on such a heavy note. And the last pasuk is V'yatzuva ra'u pipigriyana Hashem ha'poshim bi. And as people are leaving Yerushalayim after praying their homage, they will see the corpses of those who sin against me. Ki lo tolatam lo tamus yisham lo tichveh, because they're being consumed. Their biodegrading process will not end, and the fire consuming them will not go out. There'll be an embarrassment for all of flesh. And we don't want to end the Haftorah or Sefer Yeshayahu on that, which is why we repeat the second last pasuk. Just a lot of things to think about over here. What exactly is going on over here? What is this? What is this moment of judgment? So the Radak gives a few options. Rav David Kimchi suggests either this is the final judgment day, where the tzaddikim are separated from those who are evil to us, or he says it could even be worse than that. It could be after Tchiyas HaMeisim, after the revival of the dead. And what ends up happening is that they come, the Rishayim will come back to be destroyed. That's what it seems to be over here. Is they'll be judged again when they return body to soul. In a more sad way, the Radak suggests another option, which is that there's certain people who's led such decrepit lives that when the neshama has to separate from their body, there's nowhere for it to really go. It sort of smolders and is consumed with their body. And that's what we're witnessing over here. People who are so decrepit, so empty of life. Who are these people exactly who we're witnessing in this most terrible, morbid state? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yuzayin Amud Aleph, talks about who these are. He says, Aminim heretics, Hamoisrois, people who hand over other Jews to the authorities. When we're talking about the notion of Mesira, where this is a very serious consideration, certainly when the authorities are not going to be acting justly in many cases. Abikurasim, those who are, again, another type of heretic, those who deny God. Shekofru b'Torah, Shekofru b'Tichias HaMesim, those who deny the Torah, those who deny, that means all the 13 principles of the Torah as we understand it today, those who deny the resuscitation of the dead. The Shapir Shumidar Ket Sibor, those who moved away from the communal matters, they weren't interested in the communal issues and the suffering of the community. People who sinned and caused others to sin. These are people who are going to be judged for all generations in pain and in suffering. And that's what this pasuk is quoted for in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Very terrifying, but it sounds like some very egregious levels. In fact, the Gemara in Eruv and Daf Testament Aleph goes on further and says that if you look at the tense of this pasuk, it is Anashim HaPoishim Bi, those who sin against me, not those who sinned against me, which means to say that the image we're getting over here is people who are so caught up in their way of living that even as they see their imminent destruction, they carry on going. It's the people who, you know, so to speak, you hear about these stories, these terrifying stories about people who are, you know, going through the suffering because of smoking, and they're still chain smoking because they just can't get out of it. And this is, you know, these people see what's below them, see what they're entering into, and can't really get out of this. But the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Yechiel Michael Epstein, has in his halachic work, in the beginning of the work, in the second paragraph, describes that this might not be as far away from us as we think. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created two aspects of the human being. He gave us the neshama, which is our ethereal, our spiritual persona, And there is the other part of it, which is the body. And both of them yearn for different things. The spirit yearns for spiritual tidings, spiritual actions. And the body yearns to sustain itself, to gratify itself, to indulge itself. And he's obviously talking about how there's moments in life like Shabbos where we can bridge the two of them. He says, however, a person, he says, that spends their lives, listen to what he says. He says, a person, chas v'shalom lehepech, yoresh gehinom. A person who doesn't follow the spiritual pathways, doesn't follow the instruction manual, the 613 mitzvahs, what ends up happening is that they spend all their entire life indulging their body, and then there's nothing left. All they have in their life was a life of indulgence, of feeding an animal, feeding an animalistic primate body, without having ever yielded anything, without having ever done anything for their spiritual persona. And then all that's left, he says, quoting this pasuk in Yeshayahu, is simply this. I want to end off with perhaps on a note of note of hope. Just this is the last section, it's a little longer, but I want to just end off on one note of hope, and that is that at the end of times, there is a description of the times of Mashiach. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Tesama Beis, says the following. Ulo says, Yesev lo achli mine. I let Mashiach come, but I don't want to see it. Meaning it's going to be so, the suffering will be so terrifying that I don't want to have to suffer through the war of Gog and Magog, through all these terrifying images that Yeshayahu and the other prophets talk about. Similarly, says Rabbah, Yesev v'lo achmine. I don't want to be there for it. But Rav Yosef says, who's a contemporary of Rabbah, says, Yesev azkid esi betula de kufita de chamre. He says, I want to have the schus of seeing it, but I want to sit in the shadow of the dung of a donkey. Very obviously, clearly a metaphoric description. What is he referring to? So Rav Kook has, in his essays, it's recorded, in 1904, he gave a hesped in Yerushalayim for Theodor Herzl. He just newly arrived at the shores of Israel as the chief rabbi of Yafo, and Theodor Herzl died at a young age in 1904, and he came up to Yerushalayim to give a great hesped for which he was criticized greatly from a lot of the world of the Torah. And he talks about the two different dimensions of Geula, the dimension of Yosef and the dimension of Yehuda, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. And he describes how the Mashiach ben Yosef is going to set up the physical framework of the country. It's going to set up the armies, the land, the agriculture, and it will be perhaps even devoid of Torah and mitzvahs. And he says the following, the shadow of the dung of the donkey, this is the translation of Bezalel Naor of this essay, he says the word chamore, the donkey, is a double entendre, refers to the material, chomer. Customarily, devotion to material affairs of the nation clouds spiritual ascent. Even so, if this movement would not be so audacious as to spread in a way unbecoming Israel, it would be easy to accept. Were it not for its extremism, the movement would not find a press of the spirit of the Torah, and would not attack the foundation of the Torah, which is tantamount to blinding the eye of the world. But the dung, the gross tendencies that are loathsome to all people, produce a shadow that dims the pure intellectual light deriving from Torah. Nonetheless, Rav Yosef was confident that eventually all these negative manifestations would surrender to the light of the Torah and the knowledge of God. Rav Yosef would sit in the shadow of the dung of the Messiah's donkey, in the very midst of darkness of the shadow, rendering that night in the midst of noonday, Rav Yosef will light the candle of the commandment of the light of the Torah, and a little light dispels much darkness. The evil will be transformed into good, the curse into blessing. This is the import of the cryptic line in the Zohar, quoting, the head of the academy of the palace of Mashiach will say, whoever does not transform darkness into light, bitterness into sweetness, may not enter here. And this is how he ends his essay and his hesped for Herzl. The prerequisite for the generation of Mashiach is the ability to utilize all forces, even the most coarse, for the sake of good and the singular sanctity with which Israel were crowned. May we have a schus of witnessing that, and like Rav Yosef, being able to bring the light into those moments of darkness. Have a wonderful, meaningful day, and Yashar Koichachem for finishing Sefer Yeshayahu. Mazel Tov.